Isn't this a sports show?
Papa, tell me about the radio days.
Almost entirely.
I remember hearing this one radio show where they did nothing but visual gags on an audio medium. The host did a whole segment with his nose taped to his forehead.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
No questions so far.
No questions so far. Nobody wants to ask me anything?
No one's watching.
Oh, goodness.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
I've carried this Patrick Mahomes hype for a full-term pregnancy.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I want to birth it into the world.
On ESPN Kansas City.
It's always fun whenever we have news right before a show. Makes Beards mad because he wants the show to be about nothing, always. Beards hates whenever the show has topics. Although whenever the show doesn't have topics, you don't do anything to help it either. You don't ever, like, throw me a life raft. You hit me with an oar. So I don't actually know. We'll come back to this.
That's my charm.
We'll figure this out about you. I actually think you might just want this show to fail, now that I think about it. We can dig more into your psyche later, but not yet! Because first, foremost, most importantly, the Chiefs actually did a thing. And that shoots to the top of my topic list. Because, in large part, it's what most people are here for. You either listen to the show because you really like the Chiefs, or because you really hate sports radio. And I am super cool with either of those reasons. Maybe it's both. If it's both, it's hard. It's hard to hate sports radio and love the Chiefs, but you ended up here somehow.
Or you just accidentally stumbled upon us.
Also totally plausible. But also the odds of you know, just swinging around a dead radio station and hitting a Chiefs fan in Kansas City is pretty high. So it even more increases the possibility that Chiefs topics are good for the average listener. And so that's where we start today. Because the Chiefs have actually made a signing. It's one we had actually talked about briefly, maybe even yesterday. It certainly had been a thing on Twitter for a couple of days. And the analysis here on the signing will probably take like 3 minutes. What this does next is, for me, the interesting part. We talked yesterday about how the Chiefs had 3 gaps left in this defense. 3 obvious gaps. Nose, no, I mean, not, you know, on their face, but nose tackle. I hesitate to call it a nose tackle because terminology in the NFL is extremely fluid right now, depending on what kind of packages you're running and everything. But for all intents and purposes, they needed a interior defensive lineman likely to play nose. They needed a safety, and they needed a corner. Maybe multiple corners, maybe a number one corner, maybe a number two, not sure. But that was the checklist as of yesterday. Now, the Chiefs have checked one of those off. They signed restricted free agent Xavier Williams. He is a defensive tackle. Interior defensive lineman, if you will. And by being a restricted free agent, you have the chance to match an offer made by any other team. The Chiefs made an offer, and the Arizona Cardinals did not match the offer for Xavier Williams. By the way, I'm pronouncing it Xavier like the school. There's a chance that his name is actually pronounced Xavier, and we're doing this in real time.
Only weird people do that. Xavier?
Is that not a thing?
I don't know.
Isn't the X-Men character pronounced Xavier?
Again, a fictional character.
Dr. Xavier? Is that, maybe it is Dr. Xavier. I don't know. I have a tremendous, you know what? Do you have Renee's phone number?
No.
Okay, right, that's the right answer. You might have to call her at some point and ask her how to pronounce Dr. Charles' last name. Because my superhero knowledge, I just missed X-Men. And that's like her thing.
I'm like 90% sure that's Xavier.
I think it
is. I like the X-Men.
Have you seen the movies?
Yeah.
You don't know the either way then?
I'm like 95% sure it's Xavier.
Okay.
But again, a fictional character.
My point being, Charlie just wandered into the studio. Charlie, do you know if it's pronounced Dr. Charles Xavier or Charles Xavier?
What?
The X-Men character, the professor, Dr. Charles, what's his last name?
Xavier, isn't it?
How did you pronounce it?
Xavier.
Okay, you did pronounce the X. I'm just saying, this new Chiefs defensive lineman, who knows? Also, maybe he has superpowers.
That'd be nice.
That would be so... If he can move things with his mind...
Is that what Dr. Charles Xavier
does?
That's
one of the things he does.
Great. If the new Chiefs defensive tackle can move offensive linemen with his mind, then this is a great value.
Charlie just says behind me, what the hell did I walk into here?
The Chiefs signed a defensive lineman. Whose name is Xavier or Xavier. That's what you walked into. But so if he can move things with his mind, this is a tremendous signing for the Chiefs. I would like to be, you know what? I am planting my flag on this take. Every other radio show, every other Chiefs podcast, you are being put on blast. You're being put on notice right now. If you have the take of, if this guy can move other people with his mind, that it's a good value, that you can't have it. That is mine. You leave that take alone. Superhero-based Chiefs analysis is my realm.
Well, you know, now we're going to have to build a team out of mutants and X-Men.
Fantastic,
characters.
Dude.
We'll do that later.
It's late March. Like, whenever the NCAA tournament is up and free agency stops and we're waiting for the draft.
Then we do that?
That's when we do that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's also we're going to fix baseball. And, speed up baseball and change baseball. And, yeah, that's all coming. That's prime early April territory.
Well, you know how you speed up baseball. Have everybody play has super fast speed.
This is great. Yes, of course. Perfect. Anyway. The Chiefs signed the superhero. And I say that, and you might roll your eyes, and I... Like, tell me, does 6'4", 311 pounds not sound like a superhero to most people? Like, you imagine who moves relatively quickly. NFL players are as close to superhuman as we're going to get realistically, so let's go ahead and round up on that one. But he's 26 years old, and he played for the Cardinals throughout his NFL career so far. And he played at Grandview. He was born in Kansas City. Local guy. That's kind of fun, right? Doesn't really matter. Kind of fun. But so he was an undrafted free agent in 2015. Again, he's 26 now, so this makes sense in the Brett Veach model. He's 26, an ascending player, and I think we're going to get a decent number from whenever that number comes out. And Beards, if you wouldn't mind just keeping an eye on Twitter for the compensation on this move, because I don't know it at the moment. Keep an eye out for that. I'm guessing the value here is going to be decent. He was he had an 80.8 grade from Pro Football Focus last year, which made him an above-average interior defensive lineman, 42nd in football. It helps. This helps check off one of the boxes that the Chiefs had still remaining in this offseason. And now it does, and as much as I said yesterday, you know what, for me, I would sign a safety and then just draft a defensive tackle. I'm guessing we're going to see a number from this signing of Xavier or Xavier Williams. Of Dr. Williams. He's not a doctor, but it's the X-Men thing again. Never mind. Once we see the price tag here, I think the Chiefs may maintain some flexibility. And it also still opens up some things that we'll talk about here in a second. What's up, Beards?
I don't have a number, but
I didn't think you would. You look too excited.
I found his Twitter account, though.
Yeah.
You will be happy to know you have more followers than he does.
Ho, ho, ho! We got to get him on the show, then.
1875.
Wow. There's a chance that, by the time the season gets here, he will have blown past me. But there's a chance that a day one Chiefs starter will have less Twitter followers than I do. That's exciting. Again, by 5 o'clock today, 45 minutes from now, he'll probably have more followers than I do. But all right, I'll take that victory. Is he verified? I'm not. Beards as he is. So, Charlie just mouthed the words, how are you not verified yet? I don't know. I submitted it a couple times and then they shut down the submission thing because Twitter kept verifying Nazis. Yeah, that was a Twitter problem.
Or just because you kept submitting it over and over
and
over.
No, not just
again,
for me. So. They shut it down. Hey, I just found some glasses in my pocket that I thought I had lost. Let's wear these during the show today, huh? They're extremely reflective. I feel like I'm in Top Gun now. You can tweet out a picture of this if you'd like, Beards. I can tell that you want to. But I'm not verified yet. It's disappointing. But this helps, though. This helps the Chiefs this year in one of their biggest areas of need. And as I've said over and over, at the very least, they have to be able to have those first three picks be devoted to two places of need and then the best player available. That was relatively obvious. And they've at least shut down one of their, using one of their first three picks on a defensive interior lineman. That's a win. Did you get a picture yet, Beard? Do you want me to pose or something?
I did, but the glass on the side made it not good. So we'll work on it.
And we can do it during commercial break. That's fine. I'll keep wearing these glasses. And so, one of the things that we talk about a lot with this Chiefs team is, the run defense, the run defense, the Steelers, the Titans, the playoffs, the run defense. And while I think it ended up being an overblamed scapegoat, very often, it was problematic. It was improvable. And Brett Veach knew that. Think about the interior of this defense since Brett Veach took over. Benny Logan just became Xavier Williams. Derek Johnson and Ramiq Wilson became Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens. And that is in, like, 12 months. Not even. That's in, like, 10 months. Like, a 10-month span. The inside of that defense changed completely. All three positions that are inside. And I'm in on that. That seems like a good place to do some overhauling. It was expensive for Hitchens. Cheap, but cost a draft pick for Ragland. And we're going to find out about Williams. But I still think it might not be terribly pricey. Therese Paylor had this story first, and he actually had a whole story on KansasCity.com. He wrote this about Williams. He said, Williams, who is known as a run stopper, is coming off his best season in 11 games, one start for the Cardinals. He recorded a career-high 20 tackles and also forced a fumble. He wasn't even a starter for the Cardinals. He started one game in Arizona. So they put in a, I think they put, well, it couldn't have been an original round tender because he wasn't drafted. I'm trying to do the math in my head right now because the Chiefs did this with Raheem Munoz-Rochez. They put an original round tender on him, and being able to sign him away isn't terribly pricey. I'm not sure of the exact facts on Williams yet, so forgive me for my inability to get that in real time. But this seems to leave the Chiefs with some flexibility while also accounting for one of their problems defensively. Again, I cannot bash this into your head enough. The Chiefs have three picks where they can expect some year one return, and certainly guys who can produce over a couple of years. They have three picks to do that, and now they're down to having two obvious gaps to fill. I also would not mind one bit if two of those first three picks were used on cornerbacks. Legitimately. Would not bother me. Can't have too many of them, and you got to make sure you get one of those really right. If one of them is Marcus Peters and one of them is I've already forgotten his name. I forgot his name last year. The guy from ended up at the Bengals. Charlie and Beards are useless to me. They're both just useless. Kavari Russell, you two can both go to hell. If one of those guys is Marcus Peters, and one of them is Kavari Russell, then you did fine.
I'm already here.
It's a pretty good joke.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good joke. If you take two corners at the beginning of your draft with your first three picks, and one of them is Marcus Peters and one is Kavari Russell, you're good. If one of them is Kendall Fuller and one of them is Kavari Russell, you're good. If you just get Kavari Russell, you're bleeped forever. Because you've got to replace Marcus Peters. So if they take a corner and a safety, and then the best player available is also a corner at any point in there, that's fine with me. Now, because you don't have to find yourself a day one starting nose. The Chiefs have that. But, the Chiefs' second biggest need on this entire team is a part of the coldest market in the NFL right now. That has some extremely talented players and starting NFL players on the market, that lines up with the thing that the Chiefs are second most in need of. And I'll tell you what that is next. What a tease.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You ever wonder what it sounds like for four tickets to hit a microphone? It was
no, but I know now.
It's very sonically pleasing, if I'm being honest.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
All right, very exciting. Again, a reminder, please, go to my Twitter, at JB Briscoe, or I'll retweet it also now from the ESPN Kansas City Twitter. You can see that Trash Boy, am hosting the show right now, and Neo from The Matrix is producing it. Because Beards has brought his sunglasses in, and I swear, they're the smallest...
I wish I had a blue pill.
They're the smallest sunglasses I've ever seen in real life, I think.
Do you want to know the story behind these sunglasses?
Please, and then we're going to get to the position the Chiefs can still address.
So, when I was going to college in Arkansas, I had this pair of sunglasses that I kind of liked, but the problem with those was, for whatever reason, they were making these giant red rashes on my nose where they sat.
Okay.
And it was like, I don't know, I was allergic to them or something, just like the material of those. So, I was going to drive back up here during whatever break it was, and I needed a new pair of sunglasses, so I just went to Walmart and was like, all right, what are the cheapest ones here that don't look horrendous?
Yeah.
And I settled on these.
Do you regret that decision now?
I mean, I wear them like once a year.
Can I offer you a very legitimate thing that's going to sound ridiculous? Dude, buy your sunglasses from China. Just go on eBay and
I've got
take
a good
a
pair
style.
Of sunglasses that I like, but these are just my backups.
I see.
Yeah.
So you wore these for comedic effect?
Yes.
Okay. You don't have your real ones?
I think they're in my backpack, but these are funnier.
Those are definitely funnier.
These are funnier.
Those are definitely funnier. These are probably also my funniest sunglasses because...
They're very reflective.
They are so reflective. If I open my eyes wide enough, I can see my own eyes on the inside of my glasses.
Wow.
Not super clearly, but a little bit. And yeah, I have several pairs of glasses because I just occasionally, it's one of the things I do. This is what I do when I'm sad. I just get on Wish or eBay and I just try to find cheap sunglasses because I can give myself that dose of oxytocin for like $2. Just purchase some glasses.
Also, my normal sunglasses are the kind that make everything like yellow and brighter.
Yes.
These are dark tinted.
Yes.
And it's very weird. It's
same.
Like, gosh, it's dark in here.
Same. These glasses have basically brought everything down about, I don't know, like 70%. Everything in here, the dimness has certainly been turned down. And it's kind of disconcerting.
I really hope somebody walks by right now.
Yeah, me too. Also, in fairness, or not in fairness, I guess, but just kind of another idea, another thing that I like to do is I like to buy those aviator glasses that are just like basically Bono. Like they're just pink or yellow.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
They don't actually filter out any sun.
They're just
glasses.
Tinted.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're just colored glasses. I enjoy those, but they're very much like we're in a sports talk radio building. If I tried to just wear those one day, I would be punched in the face. I don't know who would punch me. Someone would punch me in the face.
Rudy.
Deservedly. Well, here's the thing. I think if we make it a show thing... If I can bring you and Charlie along on this...
Then we all get punched.
Well, but it's harder to punch all three of us.
You'd be surprised.
We could scatter, or we could all just sort of like cluster. Like a back-to-back-to-back thing.
Like a herd of scared animals?
Yes, exactly. We could be like zebras, but instead of stripes, we have stupid glasses. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. That's what I want the show to be. I want this show to be the sports talk radio show that has Elton John's glasses. So if you want to see this, you can go to the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page or on Twitter at JB Briscoe, at Beards McFly, or at Kansas City ESPN. All right. Here's the tease I promised you. The softest, coldest market in the NFL right now is at a position of need for the Chiefs. Beard just put on his second pair of sunglasses. Now I really want someone to walk by. The safety market in the NFL right now is wild, man. Like, seriously, it's crazy. We talked about Tyrann Mathieu signed a one-year, $7 million deal with the Texans. I get that, though. He got in kind of a weird time into the market, and the market's not great right now. So he took a big one-year, I mean, not a big, but a reasonable one-year deal, bet on himself, play as well as you can, get a bigger, better deal next year. I get it. But it's all the way through the position right now. The Steelers and former Packers safety, Morgan Burnett, I almost said Barnett because I couldn't see the difference between the A and the U because these glasses are so dark. I turned my Chromebook up to its top brightness, which I like never do usually, but I have to now.
Do you have it plugged in?
Yes.
Well, then you're all good.
No, I know I'm good. I just never have it up that bright.
I always have mine on the highest when it's plugged in.
So the Steelers signed for a Packer safety Morgan Burnett for a 3-year deal worth about $14.5 million. Which is a fantastic value. Also, Beards has put sunglasses on Dick Justice, the wiener dog, on his desk, or on the board.
It might as well be my desk.
Yeah.
It is my desk.
Pretty much. But that's a top safety. Sales guy just walked by. Did not acknowledge us.
Well, of course not.
Shouldn't have.
We don't exist.
Good for him not to.
We need these. We almost need these to be like mirrors.
We need these windows in the studio to be made of the sunglasses that I'm wearing right now.
Yes.
It's basically a mirror to them, but we can see through. Yeah, that is what we need. 100%. But so that's a top safety off the board for a very low price. Jason just walked by. No, I tried to point at Beards, and he didn't. He didn't look. He acknowledged. He looked at me. We made eye contact, but I don't know if he could tell that we were making eye contact or not because my eyes are shielded.
Are you sure he was making eye contact?
I was making eye contact with him. Also, at this point, I feel like the show is and I am weird enough for people just to assume this is a thing that I'm just doing now. So I'm not even sure if this is going to have the desired effect.
That is 100% true.
Yeah, this might not have the desired effect. Anyway, that's a safety price that is, like, absolutely something the Chiefs could be capitalizing on. And this is not me out here skating through a pipe dream. We go to the reasonable adult in the room, Seth Kaiser, who said, safeties are going... Did you hear that sound? That was me hitting my glasses on my microphone. Reasonable adult Seth Kaiser said, safeties are going for quarters on the dollar, and the Chiefs with Sorensen/Murray/McQuay behind Barry and yet not signing them has me feeling some feelings. I'm with you. This also has me feeling some feelings. So now we pan to Eric Reed and Trey Boston on their respective couches. These are two guys who we've talked about several times who make total sense as fits in this defense. And they're going to be coming at a very reasonable price. If I'm the Chiefs, I would basically want to sign the second to last safety in this market. Right now it's Eric Reed, and then Trey Boston's value goes up a little bit for teams that don't have a safety yet. This makes sense to me. I think there's a chance the Chiefs still sign one of these guys. I would slightly prefer Eric Reed at this point, but I wouldn't be upset about either. And if the Chiefs could go into the draft with only one real hole on this team, I would be thrilled. Because then all of your picks become luxury picks. You take a corner, and then you just take the best players available, and then you build your plan around those guys as opposed to plugging those guys into your current plan. If there's a top young pass rusher that falls to you in the third round, you just take that guy, and then you figure it out. If there's a top young left tackle that falls to you in the third round, you just take that guy. You figure it out. If you have holes to fill, you have to reach for those positions. The goal going into the draft should be to have as few of those gaps left in your team as possible. Either the Chiefs had a gap for their number two receiver, they went and signed that guy. They had a gap at inside linebacker, went and got that guy. had a gap on the defensive line, went and got that guy today. Now, problematically, they created their own gap in the secondary when they traded Marcus Peters away. But again, I'm just trying to work with where the Chiefs are currently. The Chiefs know they need a corner. They also apparently did inquire, by the way, for Kyle Fuller, Kendall Fuller's brother. They inquired about matching his restricted offer, but Fuller accepted, was it the Packers? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. He's still with the Bears. The Bears matched the offer that Kyle Fuller got, which the Cardinals didn't do for Xavier Williams, which is the story of the day today for Chiefs fans. But you plug as many holes as you have, as many as you can, and then you go into the draft and just take the best players that fall to you. You could argue that the Chiefs have a problem at left guard. I'm not going to say that's a problem that gets addressed highly in this year's draft. I'm against drafting a guard highly. Zach Fulton and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, I believe, are both sixth-round picks. Go get those guys. Go find them again. Easier said than done, for sure, but you can do it. You've done it twice already as an organization under Andy Reid. So go find the safety. And I don't think that's unreasonable. You go, oh, what about the cap? And, oh, they just signed a guy. Ooh, they're running out of space. The safety market is still incredibly team-friendly right now. To get Trey Boston or Eric Reed, they would have to get them to take a relatively backloaded deal, but as long as the guaranteed money is there, I would imagine that both of those guys would understand that. They've both made some money in the NFL already. They can probably wait until 2019 to get their big payout. And the Chiefs have cap money next year that they can be spending. So go get Eric Reed or Trey Boston, and then draft corners and the best players available throughout the draft. And not only are you set up really, really well for 2019, you might just bleep around and win the AFC West this year. Seriously, that's a serious thing we should be talking about. If they go get one of those safeties for a good price. And that's what I would do this year, man. If you're talking about 3 years, $15 million as a starting point for one of the top safeties on the board, 3 years, $18 million for Eric Reed, and give him 12 of it next year. Fine by me. You know whose market that basically is? Daniel Sorensen. Beers, can I get some music? It doesn't even have to be the Jeopardy music. It could just be some angry-sounding music.
I've already got the Jeopardy
music. Fine, play that then. For searching Daniel Sorensen's last contract, I want to make sure I get you the exact number here. You're going to be surprised. Again, keep in mind, Morgan Burnett, one of the top safeties in this free agent class, had a 3-year deal worth $14.5 million.
Charlie says he got an extension last year?
Yes. And I'm trying to go to 4 years, $16 million. And that's with basically 2 years totally guaranteed, $4 million signing bonus. That's guaranteed, spread out. They'll probably cut him next year and still owe him $2 million for next year and then a million for 2020. Those are going to be dead money for Daniel Sorensen. Daniel Sorensen got a 4-year, $16 million contract. Give Eric Reed 3 for $16. That is cool with me. Backload it if you have to. And again, I'm not throwing the future out with the bathwater here. I'm making that a metaphor. Because really, that's what it's about. 2019 is this team's, like, locked-on target Super Bowl window opening year. But you don't have time to waste another year of Patrick Mahomes on his rookie contract. Brett Veach seems to know that, and they wasted one last year. I mean, maybe their best shot was with Alex Smith. The best use of Pat Mahomes was to get him more time in the system and not playing. Totally fine. Not what I'm talking about. They're 1 year into his rookie deal. The year three of it is going to be their biggest open window. Year four window starts shutting a little bit. Year five, fifth year option, it's more or less closed, and you're just betting on Mahomes being a very good player. Fifth year option isn't totally closed. That's when Joe Flacco won it. But you have a chance to win for a few years. Do it. If Mahomes is good right away, you'll win the division this year.
If he's not good right away, then you're going to win it next year with the moves I'm telling you you should make. I'm not saying to sign Richard Sherman to an enormous two-year deal that you can't get out of. These are moves that make sense. Somebody asked me, though, Eric Reed said, are you going to give Clark Hunt the benefit of the doubt here? Eric Reed was the guy next to Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. I think we've talked plenty about the reports that Clark Hunt wasn't going to pay Marcus Peters. And I'm going to give Clark Hunt every benefit of the doubt here. It's been reported that Hunt wasn't going to pay Marcus Peters. We don't know that that was because of the national anthem and Peters holding up a fist or sitting on the bench or whatever. It could have been a part of it. In fact, I'd be stunned if it wasn't. But this isn't Bob McNair, who is more or less saying, or at least in privately reportedly saying, not interested in a guy who's going to make a show during the anthem. Don't bring him in. We don't know that Clark Hunt is in that place. We don't even have a great reason to assume it, I don't think. Now, I promise, if Eric Reed goes teamless, if we get to the NFL season and everybody's signed except for Eric Reed, then we will do that whole thing again. I did it with Kaepernick. I'll do it again with Eric Reed. And for Eric Reed, it'll be even easier to do it in Kansas City because he makes a lot of sense in Kansas City. Kaepernick was just fun to talk about. Those Facebook comments still get me through hard times. I think about the fact that just some like random 50-year-old dude told me to consider sticking my head in an oven because he hated Colin Kaepernick so much. And that gives me life. So if Eric Reed doesn't get signed, we will talk about that and we will look back on the national anthem conversation as a point of contention. But for now, I'm just going to pretend that I am running the team, and if I was running the team, I would sign Eric Reed. That's the fiction that I think it's important to define your terms whenever we're having these conversations. Because that opens you up to a lot of, well, you think, wait, are you predicting this? Are these rumblings? Are you reporting this? Is this just you just
no rumblings.
Bleeping out your mouth? Yes, no rumblings. Wait, what are we doing? That's me. I'm saying that if I'm running the team, that's the move I make. I think there's a 100% chance that Brett Veach is doing the math, or that his guys are doing the math. I don't know if it's something where they're just willing to turn the books over to make it work. I don't know. No rumblings, no reporting. Just if I'm the GM, that's what I do. Go to Reed and say, listen, go to your book guys and say, all right, here's what I need from you. I need you to tell me how much money we need to set aside for the draft picks and four post-training camp signings. Guys like Terrence Mitchell or Kenneth Acker. Guys who get cut from other teams you bring in because your depth is shallow there. Give me our draft picks and three guys after training camp, three or four guys, and maybe another few hundred grand just in case. What do we have left? All right, we've got $3 million in spendable money this year. All right, listen, Eric Reed, we're going to give you $3 million this year, all guaranteed. $12 million next year, all guaranteed. 2020, not guaranteed, but the salary would be 10. Or we spread out that signing bonus however you want. I would present that. I think Eric Reed would be down for that. I don't know. But that's where I would be right now. If I'm the Chiefs, if I'm Brett Veach, that's how I'm feeling. We're going to take a break, clean off our sunglasses. Whenever we come back, I've got a lot of very, very good small stories we're going to blast through. Here's a taste, okay? Another new football league. John Gruden. And Deion Sanders whiffing on Twitter.
How long is this commercial break, Beards? I want to be very honest with the live listening audience
Four
right now.
4 minutes.
If this is you driving around now, this is worth a 4 minute wait. If this is you on the podcast, it's like 4 seconds. Maybe there's a commercial stuck in somewhere. Maybe a 30-second one. I promise you, these three stories are going to be worth the wait.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Couple orders of business from the Facebook page. Ulysses says, I'm late. Why are we wearing sunglasses? I found these in my pocket of this jacket. Put them on. Mike Allen says, Kaepernick greater than sign Henny. Not even questionable. Absolutely. Alex says, how has Xavier Williams looked? Seth Kite is doing a film review today, he said. Keep an eye out for that, for the best bite-sized film review consumption you can have. Also, we're going to have Seth on the show on Thursday. We'll talk to him about Watkins and Hitchens and Williams all on Thursday. Ian says that his brother, who made the Funko Pops for Beards and I, he's tried to get him into American football for years to no success. He stumbled across you guys and thought you would get me interested, ease into my entry, so to speak. You haven't. I still have no interest in it, but you guys are cool. I'm here for the nonsense. All right. My man. Mike asked where the X-Men chatter was whenever Benny Logan was signed. I don't know. Are there any superheroes whose names sound like Benny or... Oh, Logan. Yeah, duh. All right. Okay, yep. Yep, good. Sorry.
He has not stabbed anybody with claws yet, as far as I know.
I had to think that one out loud.
I did, yeah. I did, too.
Good call. We might have done something with Logan, honestly, then. I'm not sure. My dad said the first segment was good Chiefs takes and bad glasses takes. And he says the Teicher thinks that they're done. I think he's posted a thing about the thing that Teicher has written here. And Therese said that he thought the Chiefs were going to be done even before this Williams signing. I'm not willing to say that yet. Because of the safety market and because of the flexibility the Chiefs can have by moving things to the future, I'm not willing to say that there's not a free agent signing left. And the safety spot makes so much sense. It's a perfect collision between what the Chiefs need and what is available right now in a really slow market. I think that the conventional wisdom being that it's almost assuredly over, that makes sense as conventional wisdom. But Brett Veach continues to say, no, we've got more things going on here, and this is what I would be looking at as well. Again, I'm just going to say what I would do if I was the GM at this point. I think Eric Reid makes a ton of sense still. All right. From the back, Charlie with the just shouting from the distance. I need you to pick one, please. Another new football league, John Gruden or Deion Sanders?
Deion Sanders.
All right. Deion Sanders did something awesome today. Deion Sanders apparently did like a list of the best defensive backs in football. And someone named Kevin tweeted him and said, how do you make this statement not include the first two team all AP all-pro safeties? At Deion Sanders, thinking face emoji. And Deion responded to this man named Kevin with, you're looking at writers at your hold on. You're looking at who writers tell you who's the best. I know who players and former players feel is the best. I rest my case. You continue to be a fan, and I will continue being the man. Hashtag truth. First of all, I'm getting that tattooed on the inside of my bicep. You continue to be a fan, and I will continue being the man. Hashtag truth.
I have a feeling I know where this is going, but please continue.
Well, this on its own, I saw this tweet. I was like, come on, Deion. Like, he hitting somebody with, I put my hand in the dirt. Like, that's garbage. I hate that. I played the position. I know what I'm... Well, this man named Kevin is Kevin Bayard, potentially. I didn't recognize his name right away, but I looked at his Twitter bio. This man, Kevin, who Deion is told to continue being a fan, was an all-pro safety last year. He was asking, how do you not include the two all-AP all-pro safeties? Because he was one of them. That's pretty good.
Deion knows the sport, man.
He hit an active NFL all-pro safety with you continue to be a fan. That is a 10 out of 10 Twitter moment. I am deeply in love with that interaction.
What was the guy's name again? Kevin?
B-Y-A-R-D. He's on Twitter at KB31_era. The Titans' official Twitter account tweeted and said that they would print that off for him. It's very good. And yeah, he was an APL pro safety this year. I'm guessing he's young, because again, I didn't recognize his name. But it's really great. That's a very good story. All right, John Gruden or yet another NFL league, or yet another football league. Charlie from the back, Gruden or another football league?
John Gruden.
Chris Wessling on the Around the NFL podcast had my favorite quote of the offseason. And there have been some good quotes. This might be my favorite. Quote, if I'm a fan of another AFC West team, I'm loving everything going on in Oakland. John Gruden is building a Jeff Fisher team. So good. Also, they're working out Eric Decker today. They cut Michael Crabtree, got old dirt receiver with Jordy Nelson. Marshawn Lynch is there. We're not sure how good Derek Carr is, honestly. The defense is very expensive. Sean Smith is going to prison, is also no longer on the roster. And they may be signing Eric Decker. Awesome. Super in love with it. All right, now let's talk about the newest football league. Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian, who I wish Rudy was here. Rudy freaking hates Bill Polian. We talked about this on Sports Saturday and Sports Sunday, not this last weekend, but the weekend prior. Bill Polian thinks that Lamar Jackson should switch to receiver because he's too short, even though he loved Johnny Manziel, who is shorter than Lamar Jackson. And for me, this is just me, I can't think of another major difference between Lamar Jackson and Johnny Manziel that may make Bill Polian think that one should play receiver and that one should be an NFL starting quarterback. I can't think of any reasons that Bill Polian would say that.
Has Lamar Jackson gone to Vegas wearing a wig?
Don't think so. Maybe that's it? He wants his quarterback to do that?
Maybe.
Listen, I understand. Like, Bill Polian just wants to make sure that his franchise is, you know, he wants to make sure this franchise is all white. That's fine. Just trying to keep his franchise in good health. Sorry, I had like a lisp there. Franchise is all right, is what I meant to say. No other word in there. It's a race thing. It's because Lamar Jackson is black. Anyway, Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian have announced the launch of the Alliance of American Football, an 8-team pro league, which will begin its 12-week inaugural season February 9th, 2019.
That's fast.
It is fast. Former NFL stars Troy Polamalu and Jared Allen are also executives in the new league. Yeah, not only is it fast, it's faster than the XFL. I wouldn't want to be around Vince McMahon ever. I really wouldn't want to be around Vince McMahon today.
How many crocodiles does this new league have? None?
Well, I think it's open. And so now for the next hour of the show, we're just going to replay that XFL segment we did.
That's okay.
Well, no, so here's what's going to happen. They're going to beat the XFL to it. Also, I saw that this Alliance of American Football, they already have a broadcast agreement set up with CBS. Like,
who's in this league?
I mean, we don't know yet.
Is it like retired players? Is it basically the 3-on-3?
No. Football? No. Paul Mall and Jared Allen are executives. This is just gonna be a competitive league that starts after the Super Bowl. So it's off season football, basically. Which honestly, depending on where these teams get placed and everything, that could work. Like, just for me, if a football season started here on February 9th and they're the Kansas City whatevers, yeah, I'd talk about that. I would be interested in that. It's just more football to talk about. Outside of the local markets, I don't know if it'll latch on. It might be kind of fun. If it's on CBS, that helps. Also, they should play all these games on Sundays. Just tell people, hey, this, and also CBS should be pimping it out during the NFL playoffs and stuff. Hey, Don't stop coming back on Sundays, because the first Sunday after the Super Bowl, the Alliance of American Football begins here at noon. Like, yeah, man, NFL fans are going to be creatures of habit. Keep tuning in for that stuff. I think there's a chance. You know what? It definitely has a better chance than the cleaned up, reformed XFL.
Wah.
This team can get the stars, too. Hey, Johnny Manziel, go there. Bill Polian loves you.
Is it just going to be like the American equivalent of the CFL, Canadian football?
I don't know. Wait, I don't know the details yet.
Kind of like as an alternative instead of, you know. But it's not, everybody talking about Tebow going up to the Canadian football league. He can then go to the this one.
But guys fresh out of the league or who just want to get more film can go because it's outside of the NFL season. Every free agent could go if they wanted to. It got guys like on the bubble of free agency. If you're a young free agent or an undrafted free agent trying to get more tape out there, go. And then whenever the year's over, your 12-week year is over, then you hop back over to the NFL. I'm excited. I mean, I'm not excited. I'm not buying a jersey. But I'm intrigued. Hey, you know what? 5 years from now, John Gruden will probably be coaching in this league. Nothing for that? Not even a little? I thought it was funny. I thought it was a good joke. All right. Yeah, this hour went well, I think.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.